Thanks, everybody. We'll see how I do. If I could sing it, I'd probably be all right. But I now have to speak it, and I'm not sure. I'm a man of few words most of the time. Unless you get me talking about something I love, like iPads or something. But Apple gadgets. Anyway, throw up Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Probably the thing that I was going to talk about, well, you should probably figure it out from some of the songs. I'm going to talk about healing this morning. Well, let's read the scripture and then we'll get into it. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no greater one by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Lord God, this morning we just pray that you would open your word to us, that you'd let me speak forth your truth, that your gospel be proclaimed in everything that is said and done here, God. God, we just thank you that you're God who keeps his promises, that you're God who understands our hurts and our pains, is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And we just thank you that by your stripes we have been healed. We just give you this time in Jesus' name. So I don't know if people know this. There's a lot of people that do know this. I've been struggling with some things, too. We've got a few people that have been struggling with things lately. I've been struggling with some kind of weird sickness for 3 months, or more than that, I guess, 3.5 months, almost 4 months. On February, I ended up in the hospital with severe chest pains. They ruled out that it was a heart attack. Figured it was an esophagus spasm from acid reflux or something, which is kind of what they say about everything. If you have any trouble in your stomach or something like that, it must be acid reflux. Here, take this pill that'll wash out all that acid. Anyway, so I took their medicine, I went home, and I felt pretty much at ease because I had had those before and figured that's what it was. Anyway, had a stress test just to make sure, because they said, "We still want to make sure, though. Have a stress test." So I ran on their treadmill for 20 minutes, and they said, "This is probably the best one we'll have all day long. Everybody else will be on death's doorstep. So don't worry, you're doing good. So you'll be all right." So I left there, and I said, "Okay, great. Enough of that stuff." But then I just started to feel upset stomach and couldn't eat and stuff like that. I dropped 30 pounds in 3 months and went to the doctors. They couldn't figure out why. And then I made probably the biggest mistake of my life, and I started to Google my symptoms and WebMD my symptoms, and I was dying. Everything I read was death and destruction. I was at pancreas cancer one day, and then I had stomach cancer the next day, and then I was, I had MS one day, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is terrible." And I didn't realize it at the time what I was doing, but I was confessing the lies from the pit of hell in my life that whole time. Cause I went to Google first instead of God. And I think we all do that, though. How many people have gone to Google looking for their symptoms before they went to the Bible to see what God said about your symptoms? So I was struggling with that. And it was Fran that woke me up and said, "You are a child of the living God, and this is not the truth." Now, I'm still struggling. I'm still having a little bit of those symptoms. I'm still having that stuff. But 3 weeks ago, I decided I'm no longer going to listen to what Google and WebMD say, but I'm going to turn to the Word of God. So that's what we're talking about in Hebrews 16:13. That's His Word is true. And God does keep His promise. He swore by Himself. There's nothing greater He can swear by than by Himself. And He does what He says He would do. He doesn't change. He's unchangeable. He's the same today, yesterday, forever. He's the same God. He swore by Himself in verse 16. Verse 13, he says it impossible for him to lie. In verse 17 and 18, it says that. The Lord does not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Romans, let's go to Romans 10, and it'll start in verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. Keep going. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So the thing I decided and the thing that I started to read is that there is power in the things you say. There is power when you say the word of God. There's more than just believing it. You got to say it. You got to say what the word says. You have to come into agreement with what the word says. John Osteen has a book. There is a miracle in your mouth. And I've been reading that three or four times. I've read that now. And a lot of this probably is basically stolen from that little booklet. There is power in what we say. And if we say and proclaim the word of God, he in Jeremiah 2:12 says, I am watching over my word to perform it. He watches over his word. All right. So he watches over his word and we proclaim it with our mouth. He is faithful to do what he said he would do. All right, so what was the biggest miracle that God did? That's what we're talking about in Romans here. The biggest miracle in our life was when we did what? We got saved. How did we get saved? We confessed it with our mouth. He said, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he has saved you, and guess what? You are saved. The biggest thing. Heaven and earth split open when that happened, and angels sang, and choirs rejoiced. All that stuff happened when we confessed with our mouth that Jesus was Lord over our lives. We spoke the promise of God that whoever believes in his heart and speaks it with his mouth will be saved. So we believe we believe that kind of thing. We did that in our lives, but for some reason, after that happens, we tend to struggle a little bit proclaiming and professing with our mouth the other things God says. All the other things that God say about us and about him and about what he does, okay? So we believe, we release the word of God. We believe and release that word with our mouth. We should do that with the promises of God, and the power of life and death is in the tongue. It says that in Proverbs 18:21. Power of life and death is in the tongue. Our tongues are powerful. Okay? Our tongues are powerful. They can speak life. They can speak death. They can hurt people. They can heal people. They can bring healing to bodies if they proclaim the word of God over people and all that. In Psalm 78:1, we can limit God's power because we forget his promises and that our body and mind don't conform to his word. What, put up 78:1. Let's see what that says. Okay, so give ear to all my people and teaching, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I forget where it was now, but it does say somewhere that we can limit God's healing power over, or his power over us by the words we speak. But anyway, we'll keep going. We have to continue to speak and believe God's word even when it doesn't look like it's happening. That's what George was just talking about before. He said, we continue to proclaim God's healing even when it doesn't look like it. Call those things that aren't as if they are. Okay? And we keep proclaiming it. I've been going through this for a thing, and I'm going to keep continuing to proclaim. Edwina, she said, I kept continuing to proclaim God's healing on me. He decided to use a doctor, but he still healed me. You know, we don't know how God's going to do it. You got to get me wrong. I am not a big, sometimes I'm not a real big Kenneth Hagin fan and stuff, but he's the one that a lot of this comes from him and stuff like that. But there was a faith movement where people would march around cars and claim Cadillacs and do all those kind of things. And I don't really think that's what God's talking about. God doesn't say anything in his word about I'm going to get a Cadillac. Okay, he says he would meet our needs according to his riches and glory, but he didn't say it was going to be a Cadillac or a new house or a new whatever. He said, I will give you what you need. Not what you want, I'll give you what you need. And I think there was some mistakes made in some of that movement. And of course there's mistakes made in any movement that things like that. We kind of twist our things a little bit ourselves because we're human and we fall. But I just want to make sure this isn't about that kind of thing, I guess. I just want to make sure we realize that. Okay, but anyway. And sometimes it takes a while, okay, for we can pray the truth of God over our lives. We can pray the truth of God in our for healing and for whatever, our provision and stuff like that. Sometimes it takes a while. Okay, what happened in Daniel? Okay, when Daniel, it was when he started in 10, verse 10, or chapter 10, it took like 3 weeks or something like that for the word of, for his words that he was proclaiming to reach the throne of God. And he said the demons and hell were coming against that word and trying to stop it any way they knew how until it finally reached God's throne. And he said it was a battle in the heavenlies until it hit me. And as soon as it is, this is God speaking, as soon as it hit God's throne room, and then bam, he hit it. And he said, it's done. It's a done deal. I'm doing it. But it took a while. There is a battle in the heavenlies when we start proclaiming the word of God over our lives. Satan does not like that. The devil doesn't like that. He does not want us to speak that. The biggest thing he didn't want us to speak was our own salvation. And then it just continues from there because he is there to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's all he wants to do. And he will do it. I mean, if you remember when Christ was in the garden, he twisted God's word. He would say the things aren't true. He just enough to try to put doubt in your mind and try to do those kind of things. And every single time that he tried to do that with Jesus, what is it that Jesus did? He spoke the truth. He said, the word of God says, the word of God says, he said it. He spoke it out loud and he says, the word of God says this, not what you are telling me. The word of God says this. And he started to proclaim what the word of God said over those things. All right. This is more, and I don't want to get into this either because this is more than positive thinking. Okay. This is more than that. This is more than that thing because I read an article that, they were talking about, you know, positive thinking. There's power in that too. Okay. But this is more than that. Because they were talking about, they said, you know, there were some people that were sick and the whole placebo effect. They took a pill and they felt better and all it was sugar pill because the doctor said, this will heal all your problems. And they took it. So there's power. They believed what he said. They took the pill and they said, I feel great now. He says, there's nothing in it. There's nothing in it. And they said when people are diagnosed with various things, if they have a positive outlook, they tend to thrive longer or live longer. They tend to go through these things better. But we're talking about something that is way more powerful than that. Okay? It is way more powerful than positive thinking because it's the truth. Okay? He sent his word. It says in Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and he healed them. In Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. Okay? Psalm 119:89, the word is fixed. It can't be moved. It's fixed in heaven, and that's where it is. So you must pierce heaven and overcome evil with the word. Fight through all the oppression that reaches so that our words will reach the throne of God and declares what Isaiah 53:5 says. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and upon him the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his stripes we are healed. Romans 10:10, we were talking about that. Confession brings salvation, okay? And what is salvation? Okay? It's deliverance, okay? I pulled this out of the dictionary. Deliverance from the power and penalty of sin. We know that. It's protection from harm, risk, loss, destruction, etc., it says. Okay? So, salvation, it says, because we confess our salvation. So when we continue to confess our salvation and all the things that God says, that's a continuation of proclaiming our salvation. All right, we're just continuing the process of proclaiming our salvation when we confess the rest of what God's word says. Okay? Because it protects us from harm, it protects us from risk, from loss and destruction. All those things that Satan is trying to do. All those things that the powers of darkness are trying to do. To destroy us, to kill us, to bring sickness on us. That's all that he's trying to do. Okay? Bring in miracles by confession. That's what we're talking about. Bring in healing by speaking it. Bring deliverance by saying so. Confessing the promises of God over our lives. All right? This is one thing about this that I was going back and forth with this whole thing. It's like, we have to remember that we can do nothing without the power of God. Okay? I don't care how much you speak the word of God. It is not us doing anything but saying what God has already done. We can't bring our healing. Okay? God brings healing. We just proclaim what he has done. So I don't want to get into that, you know, in that whole thing, because it says, you know, the faith movement is like, you know, if you believe hard enough, then you will get those things which you, there's nothing wrong with that, except that it kind of puts the pressure on us. Well, it must be you didn't believe hard enough. It must be you didn't have enough faith if you're not healed. That's nonsense. The Word of God says, who is the author of our faith? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We don't have faith. He is the one that gives us faith. Okay? We can increase the realization of our faith by choosing to believe what he has said. But we don't, I mean, I just want to make sure that it is God, that we know that it is God who does these things. Nothing that we do can do these things. Only God can do these things. We are nothing without him. We can do nothing without him. We can proclaim his word and all that, and he is the one who's faithful to keep it. That's just me. I just want to make sure that's clear. All right? And words, the next thing that I want to talk about, words are powerful. Okay? How many words do we come across in a day? Okay, there's the books we read, which could be good books about different Bible topics and things like that. There's the newspaper, which is pretty much from the pit, because all it does is talk about death and destruction. There is the horoscopes, which are terrible too. All that is lies from hell too. Then you've got all those things that, you know, there's all the books that are on our iPads or our Kindles and all those things. There's millions of words that float around every day, but not all words are the same. All right, the newspaper's not the same as God's word. The horoscope's not the same as God's words. All those things. God's word is different. Okay, it's not just a barrage of words that we go to and things like that. It is powerful. All right, it is God's breathe. It is God breathed. It is him. Okay, Jesus said, "I am the Word. Here I am in flesh now." All right, it is every part of him is included. It's God breathed. It's inspired. It's not John or Peter or Paul. It's God working through them to bring us the truth about who he is and the truth about what he does and the truth about what he says. Okay, John 6:36. The words I speak are to you spirit and life. Proverbs 4:22. They are life to those who find them, healing to all their flesh. The word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's Hebrews 4:12. The world was created how? By the word. Nothing happened till he did what? He spoke it. He had to say it. And that's what I'm talking about. We need to say it. Not just read it, but we need to speak it out. Speak it out loud. Sometimes it seems silly. My kids have been coming into me. I'm walking around my house and I'm just speaking the word of God. I'm walking back and forth from room to room and I've got my little Bible promise book or whatever else I decided to read from, and I'm proclaiming the word of God. Back and forth, I'm walking. Back and forth, I'm walking. And AJ comes in and says, "What you doing, Dad? Reading your word?" I said, "That's right, God. That's right, AJ. I'm speaking the word of God." And then it's funny, because one night I do it. There's a Charles Capps book that I've been reading, which I like him, and I've been reading it, and it has confessions in it, and it, you know, with Bible references and stuff like that. I've been speaking those confessions based on God's word throughout my house and stuff like that, and it says basically it's God's medicine. He says, take it 3 times a day. So 3 times a day, I get up in the morning, before I go to bed at night, I take my medicine, and I start reading the word of God. And I start doing that. And it's like funny though. One night I'm reading the Word of God. confessing these promises, confessing what God's word says, and all of a sudden I stood up on my feet and I started to walk around the room and I opened the kids' bedroom door and I started proclaiming these healings over my kids. I walked into my wife, she's snoring, and I'm walking in and I said, I'm confessing healing and, oh, hey now. That's what happens. You give your wife the control. Turn me off. No. But I'm confessing the spirit of snoring would come out of her. No, I didn't. No. confessing healing over her. That the truth of God's word, that he would save my family, that he would do all the things that he said. And it just started to pull up all this, you know, it was power. Okay? Because there's power in his word. I mean, I don't know how many of us, all right, here's the thing. All right. God didn't give me this sickness. Whatever's been going on, he didn't give it to me. He doesn't give us sickness. He doesn't do that kind of stuff. All right? That's not the way he works. All right? He might allow it, but he doesn't want it. He created us in his likeness. That's perfection. When, you know, yes, the fall came. Adam blew it. Eve blew it. And we have to live in that. Okay, we have to live in that. He knew it was coming, and he made a way out of it. But he created us in perfection. Okay, the only time he ever said something wasn't good is when Adam was alone. He said, that's not good, because he was never alone. He had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There was three of them. They communed with each other. He said, that's not good for us to be alone. But anyway, he created us to be healthy. He created us to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue the earth. Those are the things he first designed us to do. It hasn't changed. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that hasn't changed. He wants that perfection in us. Okay? Yes, the curse is there. We're under the curse. We are, but we're not under the curse anymore. He has redeemed us from the curse. Now, where was I? You know where we were? Sorry, yeah, we have to remind ourselves what God says. Okay? Here's the thing I think is funny. It says we have to remind God, too. Where does it say we have to remind God? Okay? In Isaiah 43:20 says, it says, put me in remembrance. Make your case. Okay? Israel was blowing it. We often blow it. But he says, all right, I'll listen. Make your case. Okay? So we can walk into the throne room of God and say, you're absolutely right. I can't do any of these things. I've blown it, God. I'm a sick man. I have broken all your statutes. I've broken all your rules. But then we can declare what God has done. But you sent your Son that I might be saved from the curse of sin and death. He has brought salvation. My faith is finished and set in place by what he has done. These are the things that he has done. This is my case. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over anything that's going on because that is what you said, that is what your word says, that is what he said, all these things he has done. So we have to remind God. He says, make your case. I'll listen. He knows what the answer is already, but he says, make it. Why does he say make your case? It's for us. He wants us to say it. He says, what is it that I've done? Say it. Out loud. Say it. I'll do it. So, make your case. Joel 3:10. What does it say in there? Let the weak say they are strong. It doesn't say believe they are strong. Does it? No, it says let the weak say I'm strong. So we have to say these things. It says in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Psalm 103:105, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins, heals all our diseases, redeems us from hell, crowns us with love and mercy, satisfies us with good, and renews our strength. What are you saying there about, let's see, he heals a couple of our diseases. Sometimes, if we have enough faith, he'll redeem us from hell. No, what does it say in there? He heals us of all our diseases. Not some of them. He heals us from all of them. when, you know, as I was reading this, you know, I never realized when I started to go back through and started to read all about the different healings that Jesus did when he was walking on the earth and stuff like that. It doesn't say he healed a few. He healed them all, every single time. There was 5,000, 10,000 people, and he says he healed them all. Anyone that came to him, he healed them. He didn't pick and choose. It was, they came, he healed them. Didn't matter what it was. I don't know why, but it never dawned on me that it was all of them. I don't know why. You think about the big stories that he highlights, but then you think, well, there must have been some people that weren't healed. But no, he doesn't say that. It says everyone was healed. Let the troubled say, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And it says, let the troubled say that. He said, say it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he did what? All of them. He delivered us out of all of them. Psalm 34:19. If you are afraid, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Psalm 23. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Psalm 27. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Declare these things. Say what God says. All right? We have to say what God says about these things. What you say, what will you say? Say what God says and put him and yourself in remembrance of what God has done. All right? God remembers. Right, I know it seems kind of, when I first read that, I was like, why, you don't have to remind God of what he says? It's not for us. You know, after reading, I realized it was not for him, it was for us. So that we would remember what God says. And that these things would come to pass. Hebrews 13:5-6. He said it. Another said. He spoke it. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What shall man do to me? So, he has said, so that we might boldly say what he's done. He said it, so now he said, boldly say it too. Hold on to his promises and believe them. Boldly say them to yourself, to your friends, to the devil, boldly say, this is what God says, that we need to boldly say, you know, this is what God says when we say those things to people and to the devil and to our situation. This is what the Word of God says. I boldly proclaim what the Word of God says. I am healed. My spirit is renewed. All those things which God has said has come to fruition, and I believe it. So boldly say it too. Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall, that he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Okay, now it has to align with the Word of God. Like I said, don't get into the whole thing, I'm going to get a Cadillac or all those kind of things. If I say I want a Cadillac or I want a big screen TV, that's not what we're talking about here. He says, proclaim the Word of God. Whatever you say, whatever you bind on earth will be bound on earth, and whatever you release or loose in heaven will be loosed in heaven. And I've been proclaiming that on this whole thing. I bind sickness on the earth, Lord, and I loose your healing because you said you have healed us and that you've restored us. And like I said, Dodie Osteen was another person that went through this. She was diagnosed with terminal liver cancer. Basically, the doctors told her she had a couple weeks. They said, you can do chemo if you want, but it's not going to help, really. You got a few weeks. So she decided to go home. And then her and her husband, John, decided that they would proclaim what God has said. And she started every day. proclaiming what God had said he would do, that by her stripes she was healed. And she has 40 verses that she quoted every day. It's a great little pamphlet. You can download it for free online, and it goes through all those verses that she quoted. This book is called Healed of Cancer. And it was 1981. I don't know how old she was then. I think she's still alive. Right? She's still alive, right? Alive. So that was 81. It's now 2014. And the cancer's gone. We don't have a clue. It's gone. Now, she went to some Christian doctors, and they all say, it was there, people. There's no doubt it was there. We had it confirmed by 3 different doctors. It was there, and now it's gone. I mean, there's other people. All she did was went home and confessed the Word of God. Confessed the Word of God over and over, every single day. What God says about who she is, what God says about her healing, what God says about all these things. And she said the same thing. It did not come overnight. It was months and months and months, and she felt sick, and she felt tired, and she was going through all these things, and doubt would come into her mind, and all these kind of things. I mean, we're human beings. All these things come. And she said she just kept proclaiming it, and kept proclaiming it, kept believing it. It took months and months. I have no idea exactly how long it took, but it took a while until it finally, her body conformed to what the Word of God said. There's other people we know. I mean, I don't even know if you guys know this, but Janet Schatinsky, she was given a death sentence, liver cancer, same thing. She went to the doctors. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. Please don't do that either. I'm not saying don't go to a doctor because I believe that's part of the promises of God too. God said subdue the earth. I believe what the doctors do is they're subduing the earth. They're learning about the earth. They're doing these things, whatever they can. And I believe that's part of what God promised. He said, subdue the earth and take control of it. So, granted, ultimately it still has to come from God, healing and restoration. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying not go to doctor. I'm still going to the doctors. I still have an appointment with a doctor coming up. But I'm going to keep proclaiming the Word of God over my life. Edwina did the same thing. All right, Janet went to the doctors. Janet Schatinsky went to the doctors, started chemo treatments. The chemo treatments were rough. She was going through it, but she said, "I'm going to do the things I can do here, and I'm going to keep believing God is going to heal me." And now I saw her a week ago, walking in Hannaford. I would have never known anything was wrong with her. Cancer's gone. I mean, I don't know. That's why I wanted to make sure you guys knew that, because we had been praying for her. I mean, I'll be honest. There was times when I thought I don't know if she's going to make it from this. And I'm realizing that maybe that was the wrong thing to say, but God healed her. He did it. He proclaimed, he did what he said he would do. If we do not doubt in our hearts, continuing on from Mark 11:23, if we do not doubt in our hearts. All right. This is where we're talking about when we went to, WebMD or Google and those and things like that. All right, people proclaim their sickness all the time, and I think we gotta stop doing that. We gotta stop proclaiming what Google or WebMD says about whatever's going on in our lives. All right, I had a test come back with elevated pancreas enzymes or something. Some level of something was in there, was too high. So what I do, I went to Google and I started looking at it. I started to WebMD it and all this kind of stuff. And it says I've got pancreas cancer. So I'm walking around my house. Oh my gosh, I might have pancreas cancer. What am I going to do? I want to see my kids grow up and get married and all this kind of stuff. And pancreas cancer, there's no saving from that. There's nothing that's going to save me from that. Everyone says, well, that's the worst one you can get. Liver cancer, pancreas cancer, this is all going to kill me. I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm walking around doing that, all this stuff all the time. I'm thinking about it and proclaiming it in my mind. I might not be speaking it out, but I don't know if you guys know this. I tend to be an internalist most of the time. Okay, I don't know how many people are internalists out here, but most of the time, if you ask me a question, you better give me 2 hours to think about it, because I got to go through all the scenarios in my head before I can give you an answer. Okay, it's one of my weaknesses. I tend to be a pessimist about things. Okay, probably, should I say this? I think I learned it from my mother. And some of those things, I was like, oh yeah, you must be dying. You know, I don't know. But no. But I That's funny. I had somebody come in and visit me. I'm proclaiming all these words of God, and they come into me and they said, yeah, sounds like you've got MS. I'm like, get out of here. Because now I've got all the signs, symptoms of MS because I'm doing what? I'm thinking about it. I said, this is not an easy thing for me. And that's why I'm talking to it about today, because this doesn't come easy for me. All right. I tend to be the realist, the person that looks at a situation and says, there's no hope for this, or you can't continue to do things the way you're doing things and expect things to change and all these kind of things. I tend to do that when I see financial statements and things like that. I'm like, there's just no way. You know, that's my personality type. And I'm trying to overcome some of that personality type. So we can't doubt in our hearts. All right. All those words from the world and from the pit will come against us, and we'll start to believe what the world says. All right. They've done studies on it. They've done other studies where, I mean, this went along more with the positive thinking, ideas, but they asked people, I think they were in their mid sixties, I'd say. And they asked each one to rate their health. Just do a questionnaire, rate your health. All the ones that said my health is great. All right. Now, but they did a test about this. They were all in roughly the same shape health-wise. Okay. They're roughly in the same shape. Health-wise, they're about the same. That's what the study was. They wanted to see about the way people think about things. So the people that had aches and pains and were complaining about their health and were saying their health wasn't very good compared to the people that said, yeah, I'm fine. I feel good. Those that said their health was not good were dead in 4 years, the majority of them. Between 4 and 5 years, the ones that said they were healthy were still living 4 or 5 years later. They were just saying, if you don't doubt... All right, and I'm talking about the Word of God now, is not doubting. And again, don't make it a work. Please don't make it a work. That is not what I'm trying to do here. I don't want these to become works. But he said, don't doubt, believe. It takes work not to doubt. All right, it's hard work not to doubt when everything in the world keeps telling us all that it keeps saying. They are convinced that it's something's terrible, and they confess it with their mouth. I feel terrible. I feel sick. It must be something, this is wrong with me, or this, and many times they get exactly what they say. Whatever they start proclaiming with their mouth, all of a sudden they've got it. I mean, I think it was even Fran that said she started listening to a tape because she was listening, wasn't it a tape that you listened to? She was dealing with something else, but it was healing scriptures and things like that, and positive thinking about, someone that was struggling with a liver disease. And in it, it says your liver will, produce the right enzymes and stuff like that, and she went back to the doctor, and the doctor was like freaking out because it's like, your liver enzymes are all crazy. And she's like, I know what that is. I've been listening to this tape, and it mentions the liver enzymes in it. I'll stop listening to the tape for a couple weeks, and it probably will go fine. And it went. Everything went back to normal, so she stopped listening to the tape. Things like that just show how much power it is when you start to listen and when you start to say these things. So first, like we said, the pit tells us we're sick. The devil will tell us we're sick. The world will tell us we're sick. And then the second thing that we should be concentrating on what happens is that we said, God says, all right, through his word, that by his stripes we are healed, and that he took our curse. He took our sickness and our disease, and he should supply all our need. And then what's the third thing we have to do? Confess it. We need to say what God says. So, first thing, we hear the lie of the devil. That he wants to kill us, he wants to steal from us, he wants to destroy. Second, we read what God says about it. I have redeemed you from the curse of law, sin, and death. I have healed you by my stripes. The word of God is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And then we need to say those things over and over and over again. Say them in the morning, say them in the noontime, say them in the night. It says to meditate on his word and proclaim his goodness. It says to do it day and night. Every waking hour, put it on your doorpost. Hang it on your neck. I don't care what you do with it. I don't care how you do it. Put the little pamphlets in your pockets and bring them out whenever you think about it. Every time you go to do something, just bring it out, what the Word of God says. So we need to say it. Life and death are where? It's in the power of the tongue. David said, this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, when he was talking about Goliath. He said it. This day, I'm telling you what the Lord will do. He will deliver you into my hands. He didn't doubt, he just said it. He spoke it out. When the sick woman was chasing him down, what did she do? She said, if I just can touch his garment, I'll be healed. She was dealing with this for, what, 18 years or something like that? And she did. She went to the doctors. There's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with going to doctors, but it said in there she suffered under them. I mean, it's a different time than compared to now. But she said that if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. The woman with this one son there that was sick, she came to him, wasn't a Jew, right? She said, I believe, and I'm saying that you can heal my son. He says, and who is it for me to give to the dogs? You know, who am I to give to that, to give to you that kind of thing? And she said, even the dogs can ask, get the crumbs that come off the table. And he says, let what you've said be done because of your faith. You proclaim the word of God and it'll happen. You know, and it says in all those things, your faith has healed you. And it's like I said, he is the author and finisher of our faith. But what they did is they concentrated on what God said he would do. And they said, you said you would heal us. You said these things. And he says, you're right, I said it. Let's do it. Your faith has healed you. I made this a little shorter, what I was going to talk about, because I'm sure there's people that are going through stuff. I'm sure there's people that are believing or struggling with the belief of what the world is saying to them, whether it's something in your body, whether it's something in your family, whether it's something like that. What does the Word of God say we ought to do? It says, if two of you agree in anything, it'll be done. So I wanted to give us time to come in agreement with whatever it is you're believing for. Whatever it is that you need to start proclaiming God's truth over. Whatever it is that you need healing for, restoration for, whatever's going on in your family. What else does it say? Call on the elders. Have them anoint you with oil. And what does it say? It says to lay the hands on the sick for those that believe. And what'll happen to? They'll be healed. So, God says it. Let's do it. Let's agree together that these things are what God says they are. Let's lay our hands on the sick and believe they'll be healed. Let's call on the elders, anoint with oil, and healing will come. Like I said, I'm not saying don't go to a doctor. I'm not saying those things, but we're going to believe. We're going to choose you this day. Now, that's talking about who you'll serve, but I'm going to serve and believe what the Word of God says. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. Choose this day life. Start to speak life. Start to believe the life that God has given us. Start to do those things and proclaim those things. I'm trying to. I'm walking it as best I can. You know, sometimes, like I said, we don't understand. We see through a glass darkly. And we forget our own face when we walk away from the mirror. God's word says those kind of things. We don't know what's going on in the heavenlies, the battle that's going on. But I know there's battle going on because I've seen a whole lot of people struggling with stuff lately. Maybe it's because I'm getting older and the people that I know are getting older too, but I don't know. I think there's a battle going on that it just seems bigger now. These things seem bigger. Satan is on the prowl, and he's ramping it up. I think he knows maybe things are starting to come to a close, and he is putting the screws to it. He says, I am not going to let any of these people believe these things, which he said, and I'm going to start to try to push these things on their bodies and on their families and on the world, and so they'll doubt. We don't want to doubt anymore. I want to proclaim the word of God over these things. I mean, let's think about it this way. We can proclaim those things over our lives. What if we start to proclaim these things over our cities? I mean, it seems like there's not a whole lot of desire or pull towards the things of God much. Even in the church. I mean, I'm guilty of this too. I'll go home and watch stuff and do things that I shouldn't watch or do and fall into those types of things. I mean, we all have those things in our lives. But as I've been praying, what I've been realizing as I've been working through these scriptures and working through these things is that I really blew it. I got way too busy in my own things. And it was all those things that I said were for God. You know, working here at the church, doing the music stuff, the school stuff, the food ministry stuff, all those things that I just kept myself really busy with and let myself stress about. And I'm realizing, when was the last time I meditated on God's word? When was the last time I spent time in his word and started to proclaim? You can't know the truth and the promises of God if you're not spending time with him and spending time in those things. And maybe he's allowed or used it and allowed it, the sickness right now, because I wasn't paying attention. You know, I don't, like I said, God loves us. He doesn't give us these things. But he can use those things to get our attention. And he says, you were missing it, man. You were missing it. I wanted you here with me. I wanted you talking to me. I wanted you listening to me. And you were too stinking busy. You didn't pay attention. And you kind of brought this on yourself. You're getting too stressed out because you're not listening to me. You're getting too worked up because you're not trusting in my promises. And so I'm trying to change that. And it's a thing. We have to make that choice. We have to choose it. We have to choose life. We have to choose these things. Like I said, it's not by our own works. It's not by our own hand, but we choose these things. I choose this day who I will serve. I'm going to serve God. I choose this day that with the words that are going to come out of my mouth, I'm choosing that they're going to be life. And if you hear me not speaking life, then tell me I'm not speaking life. And I'll try to do the same for you. If that's what you want me to do. You come up to me and say, I really feel awful. Well, that's not life. Let's speak life. Or this is going on in my family. Those things might be going on. But we'll choose and we'll pray together to speak life into these situations. And speak his promises into these situations. And do that which he has said. He is faithful to keep his word. It is fixed in heaven. He will do the things that he said. Everything, every promise of God is yes and amen through his son, Jesus Christ.
Good word, brother. Good word. Here's the science behind it. As a licensed massage therapist, we learned this, that the brain is attached to the spinal cord. Spinal cord gets all the messages from the brain and tells the body what to do, how to follow suit. Something itches, something burns, see it, instant message, boom. So you scratch it, you heal it, you do whatever, right? So, when you retire, a man retires and he takes to the couch. His mind tells his immune system, stand down. You're not going to be out mixing with people, germs and so forth. So you can relax. Immune system gets weaker. Tells his metabolism, slow down. You're not going to be out burning calories. Relax. Metabolism slows down, starts putting on weight. Now he's got high blood pressure, this. Diabetes, that. He gets sicker. And in, what's the average, 2.5 years after a man retires, he dies. Because we have a purpose in life from the cradle to the grave. We're supposed to be getting things done. We're supposed to have a purpose in life. So as long as your mind is saying, hey, we've got things to do, we got things to get done. That's why a farmer drops dead in a field at 95 years old, still trying to carry a tractor weight. You know, that's how you're supposed to go out. The couch will kill you. All that to say is when your mind says it's getting polluted by things that you take in, and it says, WebMD says this, and those other things say that, you feed it. And it's not about the power of, really, the power of your mind. It's how God has made us to be able to receive these things and stand strong when we claim his word. Oh my goodness, God, that's a complete turnaround. And the word of God says this, and that is why we sing, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And that is why we echo, that's what he said. That's what he told me. That's what he said. We don't do that just for fun or because it feels cool in the song. Confess it. We're working on a song together called Whenever I Speak His Name. And there's power in that. Whenever you speak his name, when you say the name Jesus, all of hell trembles. Power in every aspect of it. And you do name it and you do claim it, because therein the power lies, in God's word, always. And it doesn't matter that I haven't fasted for a week or 2 weeks. I didn't prepare. God's going to do it. His word says, I've done it. So it's not about your preparation either. It's just claiming it. God says, you can pick this up. Well, I can't, Lord. I said, well, have you put your hands on it to try? Well, no. Then pick it up. We have a responsibility to take action, and then God will work through us through that action. But we got to take the step. Mm-hmm. Starts here.
Mm-hmm. So I want to give us time that if there's people that need prayer, I want to do those what God says. Lay the hands on the sick. They'll be healed. Anoint people with oil. Let the elders anoint people with oil. But first, what we need to do is we need to do communion. And the reason we need to do communion, because what does it say? It says, confess your sins. And he's faithful and just. He bring healing. It says, when he says to call on the elders, it said, confess your sins. Ask the elders to heal for you. We have sin. We're always going to blow it. And it says, confess it. Believe that God is going to bring these things and he'll do it. So the first thing we're going to do is have communion together. Confess our sins together. Know that God has taken our sin. He's taken our sickness. He's done all those things through the power of his blood, through his body. He's done those things. We'll let Harry do that, and then we'll move. And we're going to give just some free time that if there's people that want prayer, we're going to pray up here. And believe together what the Word of God says about it.